one of the great chapters of the Bible. Every time I come to them, I find myself enjoying precious truth, either new or old. And Luke 24 is one of those. Now, to many people, even professing Christians, Easter is something that comes once a year. But I've been thinking that after the very gracious and good Easter weekend that we've had, that we should be looking into the Word of God now and seeking to learn just how this can continue with us. Easter, as we speak of it, is not just an historical event in the past. Thank God it was that. It's not just an annual remembrance of that great event of the past. It can be that. But it should be something that you and I experience continually in our lives. And from this 24th chapter of Luke, I would just like to point out to you three places in which we may experience the blessedness of the risen Christ. The chapter is well known to you, I'm sure. Quite a few verses in it were read to us on Lord's Day morning. And so I'm just going to draw your attention to two or three verses at different places in the chapter. In verse 15 we read, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." That's all I'll read there, because I want one or two words in this verse to be impressed upon all of our hearts. But now let us turn to verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And verse 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." These three familiar verses have been coming to me again and again since our Easter weekend. And you'll notice that in each one of them we have the expression, Jesus himself. We think a great deal at Easter time about the evidences of the resurrection. And it's well that we do. We point out again and again that there are infallible proofs as to the reality of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. But now, having been fully convinced that he has been raised from the dead, the thing for us to do, I believe, is to ask ourselves, now, how can I experience all that is contained in this wonderful fact that my blessed Lord is alive from the dead? And I believe that in this chapter, centering around the three verses we've read, we have three places at least in which we should constantly be experiencing the presence of a risen, living Christ. You know the story around verse 15. These two, on their way back from the city of Jerusalem, taking that short journey back to their home in Emmaus, and talking together about the things that had transpired. No doubt they had gone up to Jerusalem with high hopes, expecting that our Lord would inaugurate his kingdom, that redemption, both spiritual and literal, would be brought to Israel at this time, that they would be emancipated from the rule of Rome, and that they would once again, under their Messiah, be able to take up their national history and their service and worship of the living God. But they at Jerusalem had all of those hopes crushed. They had witnessed, apparently, the crucifixion and the burial. Now they're on their way back. Their hearts are set, and that sadness is clearly reflected in their countenances, as the words of our Lord make quite clear. Sorrow has just about overwhelmed them. And then as they make their way toward their home, with sadness filling their hearts and showing on their faces, they're trying to reason it out. I think the words are quite significant in verse 15. While they commune together and reasoned, they're trying to understand. There's a great big question mark in their mind. Why? We know he was the promised one. Why was he crucified? Why was he buried? Why have all of our hopes been shattered? And at that low point in their experience, we have this lovely expression, Jesus himself drew near and met with them. I think that's one of the lovely expressions in the Word of God. Discouraged, defeated, almost ready to throw up their hands, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And then he explains to them just why things had turned out as they did and why they misunderstood that which had taken place. But what we want to think of is this. Here is Jesus himself along life's highway. And you and I can experience with us the presence amid all the discouragements and defeats and difficulties, as well as the joys and the victories of life. As we move on life's highway, you and I, thank God, can experience the presence with us of our risen Lord. Isn't it a grand thing? He wants to walk with us. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, you can experience that. I can experience that. That will be one of the blessed aftermaths of Easter. So that while we look back to our Easter Lord's Day, and we look back to our Easter Monday conference, yet what we're experiencing and enjoying will not be in the past, it'll be in the present. As you and I move along now from here on, I do not know what life's pathway holds for me. You do not know. There'll be ups and downs. There'll be difficulties. There'll be defeats. There'll be discouragements. But after all, does it really matter if Jesus himself draws near and goes with us? They say that the shortest distance between two points is a good companion. Have you ever wondered just how you're going to make it to the end of life's journey? Just enjoy the companionship of Christ. And before you know it, you'll be there. And it'll be a happy journey going along. And so here we have Christ on life's highway, risen Christ, walking with his own along life's highway. And as you follow the story and as you recall it immediately, this was such an enjoyable experience for them. Later they tell us, as they taught one another, that their hearts that had been so burdened when Jesus drew near, after he spoke to them, their hearts began to burn. No, as Mark said, that's the way it's very often spoken. And that's the way, for many years, I used to relate it, until I noticed that heart isn't a singular. Did not our heart burn within us? You know, there are some things you can't possibly unite until you melt them. The only way to get certain substances united into one is to melt them down. And when they're melted, they run together. And that's what happened along the Emmaus Road that day as the Lord spoke to them. And their heart burned within them. Their hearts, as it were, just ran together into one. There is nothing that gives such unity, a long-life highway, as being occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. You get occupied with other things, it'll bring division. It'll bring division in families. It'll bring division in assemblies. But you get occupied with us. Get a burning heart, and you'll find your heart is melted and welded into one with all who know and love our Lord Jesus Christ. And this experience was so blessed that when they got home, and he made as though he would go further, they just couldn't stand the thought of being with him. They had known him walking along the highway. Now they must know him in their home. And they constrained him to come in, saying, "The day is far spent. Abide with us, for the day is far spent." And the more you and I experience the blessed presence of our Lord along life's highway, the more we'll realize we just have to have him in our home. And he went in with them. So that not only along the highway was he with them, but in the home he was with them. And this is a lovely sight to see him sitting at the table there with them. You know, it doesn't matter so much how big, how beautiful, how modern, or otherwise your home might be, if he's there. That's what counts. And it doesn't matter so much what is on that table if he is there with you. But isn't it a grand thought that you and I, following the remembrance of Easter once again, we can know the presence of our Lord Jesus with us along the highway, wherever life's ebb and flow may take us, to know him. At school, in the office, in the other place of employment, going back and forth, in our cars, the presence of a living Christ is the greatest experience that anyone can have. You can be perfectly happy and satisfied anywhere, my brothers and sisters, if you have the living Christ with you. And in your home, there is nothing will sanctify that home like the presence of a living Christ. On the walls of the homes of many of the Christians when I was growing up, was a plaque with these words, "Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation." That was in my parents' home. That was in my wife's parents' home. That was in our home. That was on the walls of many homes that I visited in amongst the Christians. If we live in the power of that, what a home we'll have. Christ is the head of this house. And I knew some, in fact I had some personally, who would like to quibble or who swallow down a gnat, spin out a camel. I've been taken to task where it said in the Bible, Christ is the head of the whole. Well, I said, brother, if the words aren't, then the truth is. And if you make Christ the head of your home, you won't get in trouble with him at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll be kept from a lot of trouble down here, too. What a wonderful thing. Along the highway of life, in our home, and at our table, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living, risen Savior. But now, there's another place that we should constantly see him and be aware of his presence. That is when we read verse 27. These two travelers, they knew their Bibles. They had read the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the prophetic word, but he put his finger in verse 25 on the mistake that they had made that had gotten them into this state of discouragement and bewilderment. He said in verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, the next is the important word, all that the prophets have spoken. Yes, they believed the prophets, but they hadn't believed all the prophets. They had become so occupied with and enamored with the prophecies of coming glory that they had been completely blinded to the prophecies of suffering. Ought not Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory? That's what the prophets had said. And just like a person looking at the sun will be blinded temporarily so that wherever they look after looking at the sun, they'll see the sun. I took a picture of the setting sun down in Puerto Rico with my telescopic lens. And looking through that lens right into that sun, just as it was to drop into the ocean, you know, it was a matter of almost a minute or two before I could see anything else. As I looked away around that little place that we were in on the edge of the ocean, all I could see was the sun, a sun. That's the way with these. They had so focused their attention on the glory that was coming in Messiah's kingdom that they'd overlooked the fact there had to be suffering first. There had to be the work of redemption first. And so, to correct that now, he draws their attention to the very heart of all the prophets. That we could occupy us every time we open our Bible. And that's why we read in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on them in all the scriptures. Notice the emphasis? All the prophets and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's it. Not only conscious of the presence of Christ with us, along the highway of life, in our home, at our table, but opening this blessed book, looking for what? Looking for him. We'll never be disappointed if we come to the Bible looking for him. And when we see him, everything else will fall into its proper place. We'll have doctrine that's right place. We'll have prophecy that's right place. Well, of all the practical truths of the Bible in the right place, because these are merely spokes and wheels, but he's the hub of the whole wheel of truth, the things concerning himself. Someone has written, and I enjoyed these simple lines so much, I jotted them down the margin of my Bible. Oh, what a Bible reading have we here! Not barren theory, musty, dry, and drear, but Christ, the altogether lovely, full in view, himself, the preacher, text, and sermon too. Mustn't that have been a wonderful experience? To have the Lord Jesus Christ himself open up the Old Testament scriptures. Imagine him coming to Isaiah 53, reading those wonderful words and saying, that's me, that's me. My, you said I'd like to have been there. Well, it would have been wonderful to have been in the house of Emmaus. But if he's in our house, we can experience the same thing. He and I can open our Bible morning, noon, and night. Any time of the day or night, we can open our Bible. And we can say, Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality. More present to faith's vision keen than e'en the dearest object seen. Your Bible never gets dry. You never get weary of reading it when you see him on its pages. But there's one more place that he himself has brought before us in this chapter. God help us to experience him along life's highway, in our homes, at our table, on the pages of the Word of God. Now, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Yes, he not only wants to walk with us, he not only wants to talk with us, but he wants to gather with us. What is the central truth on which this assembly is based? It's Jesus himself in the midst. Now let's always keep that before us. We are gathered unto him. Not any truth in the Bible, precious and wonderful though they are, not to any person or preacher or anything else, not even to a principle, unchanging as the principles of God's Word are, but unto a person. Jesus himself stood in the midst. You know why for these 47 years I have made every effort within my power to be at the Lord's table each Sunday morning. Not because there are a lot of beloved brethren and sisters there whom I love in the Lord. Not because I enjoy the singing of those lovely worship hymns. Not because I appreciate the bread and the wine on the table. But because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I love to be where I know where he is. Brethren, he loves to gather with his people. And the days that lie ahead, however few or many they may be, may we know something more about our Lord in the midst. I know of no better way of starting the week off than meeting with Jesus himself in the midst. Brother Starr and I talked about quite a number of things while he was here. One thing that we discussed was the growing tendency to have the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. Now I said, now Brother Jim, I have an open mind on that. I like to keep an open mind, not open at both ends or everything will fall out. Some people are so open-minded that they don't have anything left in there. I don't want to get like that. I want an open mind for truth to go in and stay. I said, I've got an open mind, and I don't think that I have any deep-seated prejudices. But I said, if I have the choice, I said, I love to begin the Lord's Day around himself. I said, when I go to an assembly where they break bread at night, I go there at night. And I sit down, I forget what time of the day it is, and I'm occupied with him. And I hope I'm able to maintain that attitude. We remember the Lord on Thursday in the garden over there in town. I don't have any scripture for that, except I think I could show you that they remember the Lord every day in the beginning of the church age. But we were just sitting in the garden, occupied, not with the fact this is Thursday. No. He's in the midst. Over there somewhere he died. Down there somewhere he was buried. We're occupied with him. But I think it's a love, if I have my preference, I can't keep from saying this, that I prefer to start the Lord's Day and to start the week so far as a corporate gathering is concerned around himself, giving to him the worship and praise of our hearts. So may the days ahead hold much to you and me of revelation of Jesus himself. A long life's highway, in our homes, at our tables, in our Bibles, and in our assembly. Jesus himself drew near. You know, after these 47 years meeting with the Lord's people, if I had been occupied with a circle, I'd have been gone long ago. But because I've been occupied with the center, I haven't found any reason to leave. I think one of the brethren that I have known that could lose himself more than anyone else I've ever known in the occupation with Christ. Now, I have been with a number of men of God, and sitting beside them at the Lord's table, I knew that they were just lost in the Lord. I sat beside my spiritual father. As I've told you, he was a great giant of a man. And I have sat beside that giant of a man, and I felt his whole body just quiver as he sobbed silently at thought of the sufferings of his Savior. But I think the brother that seemed to be most lost to everything else but Christ was our brother Harold St. John, one of the godliest men that's been my privilege to know. And if you said to Brother St. John, at the close of a meeting where some uninstructed brother had gotten up and given out a hymn, Christians go and tell of Jesus, entirely out of place. If you said to Brother St. John after the meeting, that hymn wasn't in place, was it? He'd likely have said, you know, I never noticed it. about him. I was occupied with him. Again and again, things have taken place. Our brother seemed totally unaware of it. He was occupied with himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be the blessed experience of every one of us, both young and old. May I say to you, my dear young brothers and sisters in Christ, if you will keep occupied with Jesus himself, in every circumstance of life, you'll experience a happy, a blessed, and a fruitful life. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for the message that's been ringing our hearts these last few days again. He is not here. He is risen. And we thank thee, blessed Lord, that thou art alive from the dead, not only to return to thy Father's right hand and take thy place there on the Father's throne, from henceforth expecting until thine enemies be made the footstool of thy feet, but we thank thee thou art alive from the dead to walk with us, thy people. And we believe what we've been reading is just one way that thou didst show thy people of all ages that it was thy desire to walk with them, to talk with them, to gather with them. May this be our blessed experience as we separate from this prayer meeting in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.